with us this morning. He made it. Oh, anyway. Thank you for taking over last Sunday. And we are going to continue on in Hebrews. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Like I said before, if we could see what was going on in the other dimension, it's a lot more busy than this one. We think we're busy. Angels are doing things for us and with us and helping us. I love it. Brother Brown said, the believer has an angel. You get it from birth. Well, that's your predestinated angel. That's somebody there with you. Now, you think, well, where's it at sometimes? And that's not your Savior.
Right.
It's just a helper.
Yeah.
All right? Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body. So in other words, don't disclude people. And, you say, well, so-and-so is going through a hard time. Well, kind of maybe enter in with them a little bit. Tell them, pat them on the back, tell them you're praying for them instead of talking about them on the telephone.
That's right.
Right? Just enter in and say, God, whatever they're going through, it's an adversity, and if there's a child of yours, then they'll accept it. We've all been through it. We've all gone through it. We all still going through it.
Right.
Adversity. Because we're all one body of Christ. You can't keep the baby out with the bathwater, like the old saying goes. Well, what do you mean? Well, you can't take a little baby in Christ and just, acting like a baby. But if there's a baby, if they're born again, be careful.
Yeah.
You may entertain angels unawares, and entertainment may not be the good part, So let's just be careful. Let's be mindful of the whole body of Christ. That's what I want us to see in all these different things that we're doing now, especially for the youth and different ones. We have diversity as far as adversity. We have diversity in the body, many different members and different parts. So we need to be, especially now, like Brother Dick told me, and I know he don't mind me telling, he said he bruised a lot of fruit during his time of trying to witness to people. Because a lot of times you witness with a chokehold.
Right.
That's not good. Tender hands and nail-scarred hands.
That's right.
And but now there's a big difference in that and then talking to somebody who's been in a message 20 years that they need to have a chokehold every once in a while. Right? You have to get their attention. Remember?
Yeah.
Like God gets our attention. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Alright, let your conversation, this is where we were at a couple Sundays ago. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, do we really, really believe that? Be content with such things as you have. What the Bible, the Bible calls in the Ten Commandments, it says, don't covet thy neighbor. Don't covet the things of your neighbor. I mean, it's nice to have good things, and it's nice, but don't try to compete with your neighbor and all the other stuff, Especially if they're worldly people, you sure don't want to. You want to just be content.
Yes.
Right? Be content with what you got. Doesn't mean that you need to just sit home and not do nothing. No, that's not what that means. That means you be content with what you got. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me. And for Paul ought to know that very well by all the persecution that he went through. And even to be so bold as to tell people that you'll be judged by my gospel, I am sure they people hated him for that. But you know what? It's the truth.
Yes.
And we'll be judged by all the gospel that's preached to us. And here in the end time, we don't have an excuse. We've got an open book. So we've got all 66 books and everything else in between. So we don't have an excuse. That's why more is given, more is required.
Yes.
Right? Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, considering the end of of their conversation, not the little, or the outcome of their what? Conversation, or what they say, their conduct. Right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
Be not carried about with divers or many strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats. All right, let's see that. Not with food, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. In other words, he's not talking about food there, I don't think. He's talking about spiritual food. Be not carried away with many strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, or not with stuff that you should eat, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And you see that in the message a lot, and you see it in different places. You see that there's a lot of things going on in different places that, what does it profit you? You need to look at the, consider the end of the conversation.
Yes.
Right? We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And we know that he wasn't crucified in Jerusalem. They took him outside the city and onto Golgotha, and they crucified him there because of this here. Because the excuse me, the offering in the Old Testament was not killed inside the Holy of Holies. You can't do that.
Right.
It was killed outside and then brought in. Same way with Christ. He was killed outside the gate, brought into the city. Well, I mean, not his body, but he come back into the city when he resurrected. And took away all the... I think that's what Paul's trying to tell them. These beasts and all that you got in your tabernacle, kind of like what we're talking about, the 144,000. Paul's trying... Because remember, he's intertwined with the Jews. He's been a sacrifice guy all of his life. You know, done the sacrifice, and maybe him not being a high priest, but he sure depended on that high priest every year to go behind the veil and get his sins forgiven. Now he's trying to tell them, hey, you don't need to do that. It needs to be Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a man. Wherefore Jesus, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us there go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I was thinking yesterday, we look at the nominal world, and some of them are trying real hard, but well, I tell you, the true gospel is just... We were at mule camp yesterday, and there was this booth that had this great big sign that says, "Do you know the Bible?" Remember, we walked by it. Well, he handed me a card, and he said, "It looks like y'all know the Bible or something." Because he saw
well read.
It looks like y'all are well read in the Bible. I said, "I never said a word." It just... Jim was there with a dress and, you know, and a long hair and everything, but I wanted to stop and say, "Well, let's talk about Acts 2:38 for a minute." But see, that's the wrong time to do it. That, you don't want to bruise fruit, make a scene. But we have to... What am I saying? We are a selected people that have been called out of all that. We were all caught up in denominationalism and all the different things that we've come through. But we've been called out of that without the camp. But the reproach we have to bear is that when somebody comes and tells us about their denomination and wanting you to come to their church, and then they want you to do this, and you just kind of have to say, "Well, no, you know, we just use discretion." Listen, it's going to come a time to where the separation is going to be worse than it is now. Because we're even seeing separation in our own ranks amongst literal family members, much less spiritual family members. The literal family members are being torn apart because of what? Doctrine. Denomination. Alright? But we have to bear his reproach. You know, I was thinking also, they talk about, you know, Jesus died on the cross in the denominational world. And it's like Brother Brown said, they can't get him off the cross. He's like, Jesus died for our sin. But when you say, "Oh no," when you say, "Well, he's now living inside of me," and they'll say, "Yeah, that's fine." But, you know, you still see the smoking, drinking, and the apparel wearing, and the doing, and the this, and that, and the other, and you go, I don't know if he's in there or not. Right. You know, your testimony doesn't fit your, what Brother Brown said, your testimony doesn't fit your life.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what this was, we were saying back up here. Watch the strange doctrine, be established through grace, not with meat which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. In other words, they've got a message. They have a message. Listen,
yeah.
The denominational people, there's going to be good people in there that's going to be given eternal life, but they will be foolish virgin, or they will be under their own message. Because the Baptists had a message. The Methodists had a message. The Pentecostals had a message. And they're going to be, a lot of them's going to be bright. Because they got born again under their opportunity. But now, since this has come to light,
yes.
The end of the conversation of this is that Jesus is not a second person. We're not praying to a second person. We're not praying to a son that has to go to the Father, and it's two separate people, or the Holy Ghost is another, and you got three, and you got this, and you got that. Same way with water baptism. You know, you could have stopped and talked to that guy about water baptism, and you just made a scene. Why? Because you've got a knowledge of the truth. You've got this knowledge. He has a knowledge of the truth. His knowledge tells him he needs to be baptized, which is good. He come to a knowledge he needed to be baptized, and that's what Paul's dealing with people that have come to a knowledge maybe that. Well, I don't know if this sacrifice up here is what we were talking about. I don't know about all that. And he said, well, you know, let me tell you something. Let's go without the camp. We got to get out of Jerusalem, in other words, or get out of Jewry.
Yeah.
Jewry, not jewelry. Jewry, we got to get out of that. Got to go to the temple. Got to make sacrifices.
Right.
Jesus Christ made the sacrifice for you. That's why it's so beautiful when that 144,000, when they're going to have to come out of the camp because they're in the camp of Israel now. They're going to have to be separated outside even their own brothers. Probably their literal brothers. When the two prophets bring the message and they get a revelation that Jesus Christ died for them, well, see, that's totally contrary to all of Jewry, all of even Orthodox Jews don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They believe he was a good person, whatever. But when they see that, they're going to have to come outside the camp. They're going to have to. And then what are they going to do? They're going to be killed. Yeah, and I was thinking about this week coming up when we're talking about the Daniel 70 weeks and all. Just remember one thing. Those 144,000 are not going to go up the statue of the perfect man. They're going to get born again under the justification baby form, sanctification baby form, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're not going to have time to go up the statue of the perfect man, and that's not for them.
That's right.
This is for us.
That's right.
Peter said it's for to have the divine nature of God. Sure, they will receive the divine nature of God, but some of them may not have a year or whatever to listen, but what they're going to do is they're going to come to a place, where did you get those scars, and that they wail and mourn away from each other because of what happened, and then God's going to birth them into the body, but not as bride, remember. This is a requirement for the bride. Because look, this is for what? This is what I was thinking about last week. This is for the body.
That's right.
The 144,000 is not the body.
That's right.
They're not the body of Christ.
That's right.
This body is taken away. This wild olive branch is taken away so that God can graft back in the regular olive tree. But that regular olive tree is not going to take the position of growth that the bride took.
That's right.
So they're just going to get born again. They're going to get baby form justification. They're going to know that they're past sins because that's what Daniel 70 weeks is for. Make an end of sin, transgression, and what? Iniquity.
Right.
Finish, done with, reconcile. He's going to reconcile them to a position, but you and I are reconciled to that position and then more. Because more is given, more is required. This is what's given. Peter gave this to the Gentiles.
Right.
And then Paul continues on about growth development. He's talking about the Gentiles. Because the Bible tells us, and we may read it a little bit later on, in Daniel, over in Daniel it says, Daniel, of course this is to his people, he says, you're going to go to sleep. In other words, you're going to come to a place and then you're going to go to sleep and then these other people are going to come in, the 144,000, they're going to take this up and they're going to take a rapture. Right? but they're going to have to die. Say, 144,000 two witnesses are going to have to die. We'll talk about that this afternoon. They're going to have to die, give their life, and then they're resurrected and raptured. You and I have a promise that we'll not die, that we'll have a body change before death, for most, for some, and then a carrying away. Right? For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now see, that's separating. I want y'all to see that in Daniel 70 week. Jews have a continuing city. They have a city. They are going to live in Jerusalem. God promised them that's where He would put His name. Was in Jerusalem, that city, the very foundation of that city is going to be rebuilt for the millennium. That's for the Jews because it's for Daniel and the city. If you get those two together, you'll see Daniel 70 weeks more. That you, well, this is for the people and this is for the city. That's what we're talking about, the sixfold purpose. We'll go over that again. That the first three is for the people and the last three is for the city. Very plain, right? That you can see that there is 1 week left after the rapture to finish Daniel 70 weeks. Not to finish the tribulation and not to finish the 1260 days. But in Daniel 9, I was reading it yesterday, Daniel 9, 24 through 27 has no half weeks in there anywhere. They're full weeks, 7 weeks, 62 and 1.
Yes.
Right.
And there's no half weeks in the Bible except for the ministry of Jesus Christ and the ministry of the two witnesses. That's the only half weeks that you have in there. And that's inside Daniel 70 weeks, but it doesn't finish Daniel 70 weeks. What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about? Ellie just laughing?
Who laughing?
Everybody smiled at me like that. We'd have a better day. For here we have no continuing city, and we don't, because we're just going to actually be in the millennium. I want you to know that. We're going to be in a millennium, just like you go on a honeymoon. You go to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Hawaii, Alaska. Where, you're going there as a vacation, and the people that are there are going to take care of you. Right? I mean, you go to Jamaica, they had 90% of their... I think it's 70% of their GNP or whatever they, like we have corn and all this other stuff, is tourism. So, I mean, they're going to make sure you're well taken care of. Well, that's what's going to happen in the millennium. Because we're going to show up after they build the temple. We're going to show up to be the anointing, as Brother Brown said, in the sixfold purpose, the anointing to the temple, because the Shekinah glory is what anointed the temple. Well, you and I are the Shekinah glory of God. So it'll be him riding back, Revelation 19, with the bride to enter into the city to have just a vacation. A 1,000-year vacation. We don't build nothing. We're there on vacation. We're just going to sit down and eat grapes, and whatever we drink, we drink. Whatever we eat, we eat. But, you know, we're not going to be busying ourselves. But Christ is, because He's got to rule the 12 tribes of Israel. Right? I'd like to have a picture of that. Danny Fountain carrying a diaper bag.
My
Lord, that's been a long time ago. That's alright, babe. We do what we have to do.
Amen.
And we do it. And there's my papa. She said, "Hey, my papa." Lord, little kids, bless them, Lord. I'm glad we don't
give
know what
away.
To do. Huh?
And people give them away.
And people give them away.
Yeah.
All right, but look, we have no continuing city. Our city is you. You are the city. When we get to the future home, which is way different than the millennium,
yes, right.
Way different, because it's a temporal place. That 1,000 years is temporary. Everything in it is temporary. Now, there's going to be eternal people in it,
yes.
But all that's going to be wiped off after the white throne judgment, and then there's a new city, which is you and me, are going to come down out of heaven, settling in on that mountain that's going to be over there in the same place called Jerusalem. Okay? Everybody all right with that? Just get the two things separated. Future home then, though, see, that brings us in. Future home is nothing but to the bride. The 144,000 then become servants. Fifth still Jew, whatever you want to say, but all everybody else, foolish virgin, has to live outside the city. Right? In the millennium, it's just going to be Jesus sitting on the throne as the Son of David, with the 12 tribes of Israel. He's ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. And we're just going to be there just to be happy and have fun. And we're going to be, you know, we've been in glorified bodies for a while. So, and there's a lot to learn to that too. So we'll get to that maybe later on. So we don't have a continuing city, but remember the Jews do. So you have to separate the two. The Jews have a city they're going to live in the millennium. For 1,000 years, they're going to build back the tabernacle. They're going to build back everything that gets destroyed. And then we're going to live there according to Ezekiel 40-44. Have you ever read Ezekiel 40-44? Now, I didn't hang too much on the dimensions, but you have to watch where a lot of things come from the east. And even the Shekinah glory, we're going to come in. Brother Brown said, we're going to come in. Why? Christ comes from through the what? Eastern gates.
Yes.
So we're coming through when we come back, we're going to come back into the eastern gate. Amen. And you sing that song, you know, about the eastern gate.
What?
Yes. The eastern gate. Yeah, I'll meet you in the morning. Beside the eastern gates over there. Well, that's what we're going to... But now listen, we're not going to enter in as Jews. No. We're going to enter in as the anointing to the whole temple. Mm-hmm. To the whole place. Mm-hmm.
They know that. And when we were over there, on the eastern gate, you cannot go through it.
It's sealed.
A cemetery.
Right.
That they wrap somebody that's a cemetery in front of it, thinking they're going to keep God out of the eastern gate.
No, he just going to just resurrect them all and go right on in.
And
you never
another
know.
Thing, that city, I mean, Jerusalem is a big thing. They're going to have to take a bunch of these houses and all kind of stuff just surrounding that little big city.
Well, that's what Brother Brown said, you know, when it's that little place called Palestine. Because, see, this is my thought on this just for a moment. Until Israel takes over Palestine again, they're really not in their homeland. Because Palestine is part of there. And remember, it's right on the border. They just lob bombs at each other all the time because the Palestinians hate the Jews because that's Ishmael's kids.
Right.
And then there might be some Ishmael over here, but what I'm saying is they're right there at that border. Because remember, Israel took that in that Six-Day War and then gave it right back to them.
Yeah.
Well, see, Palestine, Brother Bram, you read many times, he says, that city, and he brings Palestine, Palestine, Palestine. Even in Daniel's 10 weeks, I believe he talks about Palestine. Well, see, they don't have Palestine. Until they occupy Palestine, they're not in their homeland. That's why we're still here. Maybe when we get ready to get out of here, they'll take Palestine over again. And that'll set... Of course, it's going to set a lot of people angry at them. But the whole world's angry at them anyway.
Right.
What one place do you hear so much about except Jerusalem and the Jews and what they're doing and what this is doing and that's doing and what nation's doing to this? And what? You don't hear nobody else. Except that one little place. Well, you know why? Because that's where God's going to be. God said, that's my city. I'm going to give this to the Jews. This is your land. You will have this. That's why we're going to come back into the land. But now, he didn't say that to me and you. Me and you got from north, south, east, and west all the way around. We have the whole earth. Right? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And I believe that's what you do every time you talk about God, every time we sit down and talk about the Lord. Even the things that God's done for us, that we're giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. I believe, you remember what Brother Dale reads in Peter. It talks about life and godliness. You read that. We've been reading it 100 times, Brother Dale has. But it talks about life and godliness. So, life, general, you're talking about general life? Yeah, your general life is controlled by your Christianity. Please. But now then we have a conversation that we have here. But Sister Sister Johnny has got to go back home and carry that conversation. Well, she's not got 100 people to talk to. She's got her little... Whatever it is, same way with us. We disperse and go to the different places, and we carry that conversation with us. Okay? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Just like, you know, the guy probably didn't have anything for me, but when we walked by there and he handed me that thing and he said, oh, I see y'all are Bible readers. Well, I didn't have a Bible. But we were clean cut, didn't have things hanging all over the place. Jim didn't have tattoos, and we didn't have tattoos all over us. And there was a very maybe they didn't believe it that way, but there was an image of godliness right there, you know, where we were clean cut. And that's all he done. He had remembered, didn't he? He said, I see y'all are Bible readers or something, or You know the Bible. I see you
well
got
read in the Bible.
Well read in the Bible. Well, all he done was handed me that. I said, hello. Jim said, hello. He handed me the thing. He said, oh, I see y'all. You understand what I'm saying? So let your conversation, really, Brother Brown said, your conversation is your life. It's not so much as your conversation. Sometimes we say things we don't need to be saying, but our life conversation to the world, and see, that's why we're set apart. And that's why I don't see where, I do see where Christianity has got so lax. Because if you look out in a crowd of people, and you see the things that we know are not right, and they go to church today, consider themselves Christians, you know, women leading singing, smoking cigarettes. But see, we separate ourselves. But you know what? We don't do the separating. God does the separating through our life. That's why I don't agree with the ones that try to live so close to that line where you can't hardly... But see, in a crowd, I can take all of you and put you in a crowd and y'all pick you. You can pick us out.
Right.
Why? Because you know what to look for. There's a lot of times you go through a crowd. Like yesterday, we saw some like Amish or Mennonite, and they had the long dress and the different things on. But then you saw the other part too. That didn't have one much at all. And needed to. But see, you see that. Well, see, God's separating you. You're not doing the separating. And we're not going to say, well, they're going to hell because of that. No, they're going to hell because they're unbelievers.
That's right.
So you and I could dress well. Here's my point. We could all dress well and try to fit in. But if we're not born again...
Right. That's right.
All right, let's get this real quick. We have not got far. But to do good and communicate, forget not. What my point was... These virtues are not just for you being godly.
Amen.
It's for your life.
Yes.
If you'll take the life principle, that's why I don't mind somebody like Dave Ramsey and different ones, Rick Warren and some of them that use the Bible to help you in life. Because if you'll use life principles of the Bible, I'll promise you, you'll do better. Like Brother Dale said, you pay your tithe every Sunday like you're supposed to and don't shun God. He said, I'll guarantee you you'll be better in a year.
Yes.
Well, you see the one, it's just so obvious. You see people struggle, come to church half the time, they struggle with their money. You know one thing for sure. They're not paying their tithe.
That's right.
You can see that. I mean, that. But see, that's what you see. You see that part. You don't really have to have a lot of discernment, you know. So, and it's just that, you know what? God doesn't need our money. But He wants you to be a cheerful giver.
Amen.
That's right.
If you know, if you even pay your tithe and you pay it out of animosity because you think you have to, God's not going to accept that either. God says He loved a cheerful giver. Right? I love to pay my tithe. I don't have to. When Jim tells me how much tithe we need to pay, or I tell her how much tithe we need to pay, we don't go, oh man. No. That goes first. If you'll put that first, you ain't got to worry about the rest.
That's right.
Well, there's a little. That was a life lesson. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. God through Paul is telling us to be Christian. Fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But do good and communicate. Forget not, because people are watching you. All right? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. God's well pleased with that. If we do that, then God's shaking His head. Amen. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourself, for they watch for your souls. Talking about apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. As they must give account, that they may do it with joy. And not with grief. Brother Dale doesn't lead this flock out of grief, I don't think. He might get grief. But he doesn't run it out of grief. Amen? He's watching for your soul. That he may do it with joy, or we may do it with joy, and not with grief. Same way with what we do. We shouldn't do it out of grief. We should not have a sad countenance when we come to church. Some people look like it just took them, a tractor trailer load of grief to get to church. You know what? They got a drug problem. They drug themselves to church. But if you come with a cheerful heart and do it the way the Bible says, then you're fine.
That's right.
Do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. He's not saying you're not a Christian. He's just saying if you do it out of grief, it's not profitable for you. Pray for us. I'm trying to find a place to stop here. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, and all things willing to live honestly. Now that's just life. Life and godliness. In 2 Peter, read that again. If you've never read it before, it talks about life and godliness. This is godliness.
Right.
But if you'll apply this over into your life, you'll have a better time. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience.